Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. Today I'm doing one of my very favorite shows. It's Conversations with Carol. I'm going to do very little talking because you can tell by the Lauren Bacall in my voice that I just got back late last night from Michigan and I brought back my Michigan voice. So I'm going to be taking calls and sharing information. It was a lovely trip. The trees were absolutely beautiful. But I was doing a class when I was there on Sacred Transition. It's a book that I'm currently working on that's going to be out in the spring. It's called Sacred Transition, Touching the Other Side and Coming Back. And we were talking about the death and dying process, both from a spiritual and a metaphysical perspective. And people kept saying to me, you know, Carol, I really wasn't sure I wanted to come to the show because I really don't want to dwell on dying. I want to really think about living. And I said, well, it's really interesting in that death and dying process. Every day we have thoughts, many of them that were created when we were children, that go through that evolutionary death sequence, meaning we recognize over and over and over that they're really not as important to us as they were when they were established. And then one day it's as if those habits and those ill thoughts and those attitudes and all the emotions that we have that we've carried for so long suddenly is gone. So what we, when we look at death and dying, I said, we need to look at a lot of ways. Relationships come and go, thoughts come and go, emotions come and go. And so it was a very interesting way to be able to look at that, that from the day we're born, all aspects of us go through this cycle of death and dying. And that's really what I was looking at, and then being able to tie it actually to the transitional process. It's an interesting phenomena also that when we lose someone, we want them so much to be able to communicate with us, and that always isn't possible, not because they can't, but we're really not in a place where they where we're able to hear them. Maybe we're still in the grieving, or you know, we go through the stages of denial, anger, and the frustration associated with it, and then just the loneliness and so forth. They're always with us. They never really go anywhere but shed their bodies. They're always there to continue to support us. They always will continue to play the same role in our life that they did when they were in form. So I went in and we looked at a lot of the transition process, and it gave me a chance to really go in and share what I had learned from the process of touching the other side of my near death and then coming back. The common theme that I found for the class that I thought was really appropriate for where we are in the energy shifts that are taking place is that it was, if you don't live today as if it's your first, you'll live it as it's your last. So if you don't live today as if it's your first, you'll live it as your last. And I thought, oh my gosh, what does that really mean? So as the group, we talked about it, and what it says is that every day should be like a day in a candy store. You can have anything you want. It's always, you're always curious. You're always open to being able to learn. It's just that all of those qualities about us get lost in our habits and comfort zones and insecurities and fear. So we're entering into a major energy shift that's going to take place from November 11th to the 21st. And so it's a good mantra for us to really think about, not only in our thoughts, but also our lifestyle and the people that are in our lives. Live it as if it's the first day of your life. So I am going to be taking your calls because it is Conversation with Carol. So I'm looking forward to it. If you have a question for me about your health, or let's just chat, then you can call me in the U.S. and Canada at 877-230-3062 or 425-644-5620. And that number is also a number that you can use if you're doing an international call. So let's just go back in, jump in right now. Hi, Peggy from New York. Hi, honey. How can I help you?
Hi. I'm in the middle of a huge transition myself and starting my own business, and I'm scared and excited all at the same time. But something interesting happened to me 2 days ago, and I was hit by a bicycle. And I wondered what that meant. It felt like some kind of a message. And it happened to me 2 years ago, about the same time. And I'm like, well, I'm not that accident prone, but it's just like a message. One time, the first guy was awful and didn't even stop to see if I was okay. And this time, the guy was really nice and took full responsibility and, you know, helped me up along with some other people. And so I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
I say this with great love, but it may very well be that what this message was telling you that while you're wanting to move along, that fear part of starting something new, and that's so understandable with the fear of unknown, are you doing the right thing? And then I touch your personality, honey, and it's the woulda, coulda, shoulda syndrome that you always go through based on personality. It's an important part of who you are and thinking things through, but sometimes you feel like you can get stuck in analysis paralysis. Mm-hmm. And the metaphor that I get with the bicycle, as uncomfortable as it was the fact that, okay, it's time to move on. There's an interesting thing that I've found when I'm talking and I touch your body, where the bicycle hit you and what it's caused in your body really was a way to kind of jar loose a lot of energy that had been stuck in your hips and in your legs. It felt like one of your shoulders felt like it was locked all the time. I didn't get as much movement in the arm that you would normally like to have. It feels like what you're looking at wanting to do is going to require, is it going to require writing or working with your hands?
Well, on the computer a lot and on the telephone and just, you know, writing and, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I find that, you know, it's kind of like a fickle finger of fate that happened if we were going to go back to the good old days. What it did is where it the way that it hit you is it almost feels like it just realigned your spine. It just kind of jarred you back into place. Now I know that you've got some sore spots. I can feel that. But what I find is that the hips that used to get really, really tight don't seem as tight. And I can get more movement in the rotator cusp in the arm. I get more flexibility in the hand. And so I'm picking up a couple of things now that we picked up the positive part. Now I do pick up some of the, oh, and then the other thing is, I mean, your soul just said, wait, Carol, you forgot something. One of the other things is that it's important for you as you move forward in your business. You have a tremendous amount of courage deep down inside, but it's almost like you have to come in and embrace that masculine energy of who you are and come to some kind of reconciliation with that masculine energy, that you can be courageous and a warrior and steadfast and move forward and be strong and stand tall. There's the metaphor of the bicycle situation. Mm-hmm. Stand tall. But you've got to go in and reevaluate what masculine energy means to you. I touch parts of you, the males that have been in your life. And frankly, honey, there's more that you don't want to be than you do want to be. And there's an aggressiveness or is need to take control and to set parameters. But they, in the masculine energy of who you are, they feel so fixed. It's like, I just want to go in and take out a piece of paper with you and say, okay, Peggy, let's redefine masculine energy. Masculine energy is a compassionate warrior. Masculine energy is driven, but not at the expense of yourself or others. Masculine energy needs to feel secure and in control, but not to the point where you're so control, have such a control fetish about it that you can't be flexible. Your business, the foundation of your business is phenomenal, honey. Don't let it go. You've been working on it a long time.
Yeah.
It's been growing a long time. It is absolutely phenomenal. You know it's needed, but it's going to require that you move forward in kind of that blinder on process where you just, you know, put that dog ear determination on and get going, but also remain flexible enough that as the market starts to flesh itself out and the niche, then you'll be flexible enough to be able to, and adaptable enough to be able to have the foundation, but to be able to move where you need to go. The gentleman on the bike represented that masculine energy. Mm-hmm. Also, he was nice. I mean, he was, you know, sensitive and he was nice. And again, it isn't that males aren't sensitive and they're not nice, but the males that have been in your life have always been, I'm going to be very kind, but over controlling.
Yep,
and as a result, it's really difficult for you to embrace that part of yourself. So let's go in though, because there were some things in the body itself. So. What I'd like you to do is I would like you to come in and I would like you to go into the body parts that hurt with me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to get some Trameel, T-R-A-M-E-E-L cream. It's a wonderful homeopathic cream. It will help with the inflammation. It will help with the soreness that I pick up with you. Also, it's got a anti-inflammatory in it. You might want to look at getting some Arnica tablets from Highland, some homeopathic remedies that will help with the inflammation. The other thing is that you may want to go and get a massage. Any excuse for a massage is a good one, right?
Exactly.
Yep. You'll want to go in and you will want to look at that. And then what you will want to do is you'll probably want to go see a chiropractor. And again, someone that's not going to crack anything. The spine really did get jarred to the point where it lined up, but I can feel a lot of tension where the head drops into the skull itself, kind of that cranial part drops into the skull itself. It feels like you've got some tension just above the ear area, and when you move, it doesn't feel like you have the flexibility. That's why I thought it might be helpful for that.
That's excellent. I can feel it up there.
Yep. So with that, you know, with the Arnica could help you with that. If it gets to the point where you start getting any kind of headaches because of the tension, everything, you know, please don't bypass taking some Advil or some ibuprofen or something. And by the way, for all of the listeners, when I name these names, this isn't any kind of monetary compensation. They really come from just good old Carol experience of what's really worked with me. And as you know, we do in our humanists, we share the wealth with everybody else. So, but I think that's really what this was all about, because honey, when I step back and I kind of replay the bike hitting you, oh, hon, you could have really gotten hurt.
I was so lucky.
You were so lucky. And so it's almost as though this, you know, the law of attraction is like the being of who you are. It's like, I need a good 2x4 metaphor that's going to get my attention. And it did, but it didn't hurt you seriously. And that really was a wonderful gift. So I would think about all those things. And oh my gosh, I wish you so well on your job and it's not even a job. It's a passion.
Yeah.
And the new business and everything. Oh,
and
sweetie,
to be on
it's
my
just
own and be an entrepreneur. That's what I've always wanted to do. So thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. My pleasure. Hi, Jane from Louisiana. Hi, Jane. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing fine.
Good.
With a question. I have was diagnosed with Wolf Parkinson syndrome of my heart. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you could see anything. I feel fine.
Okay. So I will do that for you, sweetie. But I need to ask you, what are you really afraid of, honey? I'll answer what you ask, but I have something deeper down in your being that is just afraid. And I, if you would be so kind to dig down inside and find out what you're really afraid of, then I will be able to help you with that and then help you with this syndrome as well.
Okay.
So the question is, has anyone in your family had heart issues?
Yes, I have a family history of heart trouble.
Okay. Is there a family member that died at an early age of heart disease?
My father was 62.
Okay. Did your father carry the same gene for this syndrome?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you know much about your grandfather?
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. So when I go in and I look at the heart itself, there is some, the heart itself is becoming lazy, it feels like it. And what I mean by that is it doesn't seem to have the strength that it did around the ability to move the blood as effectively as it needs to. That isn't something to be concerned about, but it is something that I need to say to you for you to start going in and doing some stress management work. And what you can do is find some ways that you can calm your mind when it starts running crazy. When you get into a situation where you have the adrenaline running through you, you will want to go in and come up with a relaxation technique that you can mindfully close your eyes, excuse me, and walk yourself through it. And what that will do is it will relax the rhythms of the heart. It will relax the amount of blood that is entering into the heart, and it will, excuse me, it will take some of the pressure off of the muscles themselves. That's the very first thing. The other thing is that for me to tell you, you're not your father. That's why I ask if your father, if you knew if he had the same syndrome or the predisposition genetically, as well as your grandfather. You're a completely different personality than both of those people. And as a result, then you will be less inclined to have the damage that can occur from the heart issues. I keep touching your heart, sweetie. And when I touch your heart, I know what you've been diagnosed with. But I can also, did they talk to you about the murmur at all?
No.
Okay. There's a very slight heart murmur that you've had ever since you've been a little girl. And that heart murmur, when you get stressed, it causes the blood itself to not completely empty out of that lower ventricle chamber. And as a result, it puts pressure on the blood, on the heart whenever you get to the place where you become stressed or you've got adrenaline and stuff running through your body. I think it's nothing again that I'm concerned about. It's just that I'm trying to find out with the diagnosis that you had, where can I go and give you something that you can understand and that you can add to from a stress management standpoint. And that's when I went in and I touched that little bit of a murmur. Again, nothing that can be done. It's been there a long, long time. Whenever you get stressed, then it tends to have a little bit of fluttering in the heart itself, maybe just a slight amount of arrhythmia. And I want to just have you recognize that. So when, especially when someone's diagnosed, that you don't go in and automatically believe that this is going to be the heart attack that's going to happen or that it's going to be the breakdown of the heart that and the damage and so forth. So what did your doctor offer to you for this particular syndrome? Did he tell you this is a very rare syndrome?
He did. He said it's very rare.
It is.
Another doctor told me that it wasn't that he thought it was something on the left bundle on my heart. So I was kind of confused, but I feel okay. So maybe I just won't worry about it.
Yeah, well, and see, and then when the other doctor said that it's on the left side of the heart, that's what I'm picking up when I pick up that little bit of arrhythmia. To me, it feels like it's a mitral valve prolapse, and it's something that has been there for a long time. So that my sense is that's why the second doctor wasn't necessarily in agreement with the first doctor again. But it is very rare. It is genetic. It is usually passed on. It may skip generations. That's why I'd ask about your dad, why I'd ask about your grandfather. It may skip generations. Sometimes it may skip multiple generations before it surfaces again in someone, down the descendants and everything. But the reason I wanted to come up, excuse me, I sound like a broken record, but I keep feeling your energy and I keep wanting to circle the wagon to let you know that this is not something that feels life-threatening to me at all. But managing the stress part of it, honey, does feel important. And what that means is that coming up with something that you can use, a trigger, a word or an affirmation that you can use that when you start feeling stressed and it builds up and maybe you get that little bit of a slight flutter, you're not sure exactly what it is because it's not well pronounced, but what it is, then you can immediately go into that affirmation or that mantra and just feel that light and that air coming from the crown of your head all the way down through your body and just like whoo, taking a deep breath and everything. And then I think that will help you through the process. And then what I would do is that if you're inclined, I would go get another opinion. You have two opinions. They are very different from each other, and go and get another opinion. And that third one can offer insight. It feels like it's going to be a female cardiologist, and it feels like you'll be able to get a better understanding of kind of both of these things that both doctors talked about. So then you can stop the worry factor.
Okay. Okay.
But right. Again, I don't find anything that we should go in and go, oh my gosh, it's just been there a long time, sweetie. Thank you for calling me from Louisiana. I sure appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good. Hi, let's take Grace from, let's see, where is WS?
Hello, Carol.
Hi, are you Wisconsin or where are
you,
sweetie?
Wisconsin, yes, Wisconsin.
I thought so.
Oh, it's so great to talk to you.
Thank you. How can I help you?
I was wondering if you could help me with some foot problems I've had for many years, since 1991, about 18 years. And it's mostly pain in the ball of the foot. And I've gone to many podiatrists, several different, probably like five different pairs of orthotics, and it makes it worse. So I was wondering if there was any other insight you could give me as to how maybe my feet might be a little happier, or any ideas you might have.
Absolutely. And the thing that I find, first of all, Grace, is that to validate why the orthotics don't work is that what they're, it feels like what they've done in the orthotics is they've tried to put the pressure back on the heel area to take it off of the ball of the foot. And as a result, it's causing some hyperextension in the plantar ligaments. It's got you feel like, honey, it's got you, they had you rocking back instead of being flat on your feet the way that you needed to. So there was always a constant pull on the plantar ligament in the heel area. And it would be like it would just be pulling the ball of your foot up so you couldn't stand firmly on it. When I go in, it feels like the right foot is more sensitive than the left. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. When I go into the right foot, this is something that you've had for a long time, probably truthfully since the time that you first started wearing shoes and walking. I can find that the right foot seems to, instead of pronating, meaning that the heel tends to rock in, it tends to rock out. So it's taken over the course of your life, it's taken that ball of the foot and it rolls that right foot out. And it puts a lot of pressure on those ligaments and all those fine little muscles that are on the outside of the foot and as well as the ones on the top of the foot. But I can go in and picking up in that area, the ball of that foot is actually because of the way the foot's been trying to balance, it's got the ball of the foot rotating more towards your toes. And what that's doing is it's stretching the ligaments even more. And then when you put the orthotics on, it's trying to stretch it the other way. So your poor foot is at odds with itself. And what it's done is over the course of time is the ball of the foot itself has migrated toward the toes. And you've actually started losing some of that fattiness of that ball of the foot. That isn't an uncommon process when we age, but my sense is it goes back to when you first started wearing shoes and maybe they didn't fit right or, you know, you feel like you were a child that always wanted your shoes off for some reason. And it may very well be that that was the case. So what you can do is you can look at something. If you go to the podiatrist or you choose to do something, look at something where you can pad the ball of the foot itself and specifically where the ball of the foot attaches to their plantar ligaments. And if you can put some cushion in that part of the shoe, maybe some gel or something like that, a gel sole or something, or a little pad sometimes, or a podiatrist will have a little ball pad that you can put in that'll fill that ball out of the foot. I think that's going to help you. The other thing is that you feel like you've got, I'm having difficulty reading it, so I'm just going to tell you both things. One is it feels like it's either a bunion because it's putting a lot of pressure, again, on that part of the foot, or there may be a very small neuroma. And a neuroma is like a little herniated area on a nerve itself, and that may be causing some of the issue. And the reason that I had trouble looking at it, hun, is because of the inflammation that seems to always stay in that part of the foot. So what you might want to do is you might want to do some castor oil packs, Epsom salt baths. You might want to look at buying one of those foot baths that has the negative ions that pulls the toxin out through the feet itself. There may be a spa that will have one if you don't want to invest the money. But it just feels like if you could take the inflammation out of that foot that it would help. The neuroma isn't a problem. It's not big enough where it can be felt or anything. But it just feels like that nerve on that right foot, right outside just gets irritated, and then it kind of aligns when you get irritated. So I was born
with six toes on that foot. The sixth toe was removed, and x-rays show there's an extra bone in there that they didn't remove, they don't recommend removing it now. You're right on with that.
Well, thank you. Again, like I said, I've got the inflammation. I couldn't really tell where we were, but thank you for that validation. It's so nice to know this works. So now the left foot, sweetie, the left foot isn't really the foot at all. But what's happened is over the course of time is that your stride, your left foot is always having to try to balance the right foot. You're favoring the right foot, whether you're aware of it or not. So the left foot itself is having to extend itself and pull back harder, meaning those toes are trying to really grip and pull back because, again, the orthotics had you tipped back. It doesn't feel like you're wearing them now, but it had you tipping back. So that left foot has had to work overtime. So I've got some discomfort in the Achilles tendon, but more importantly, I can find it all the way up the back of the hamstring. So you might want to look at doing some stretching, doing some yoga. Maybe Cats in a Cradle is a wonderful way to, you drop that belly to the ground, and then you pull that arch the back up. And what it does is it pulls the glute muscles as well as the other back muscles, and it just slowly pulls them up and causes the fascia to release. And then that will cause the hamstrings to release. And then you might want to do some hamstring stretches as well. Don't do anything very long, and don't do anything where it starts to create pain, but do something to be able to stretch. You ought to do that before you get out of bed every day. Stretch those feet, toe, back, roll those ankles, do some hamstrings, get down and do your Cats in a Cradle, and then my sense is all those muscles are going to be loose enough. It's going to take the pressure off of the ligaments, the heel, the fatty part of the heel, the fatty part of the ball, and I think that's going to help you a lot, sweetie. And you know what? I would have said to you, honey, even 3 weeks ago, you know, I would have said, Grace, I say this with great love, honey, but you're stuck. But I don't know what has happened to you in the last 3 weeks, but you have decided to take control of your life, and you're going to move forward and step out, and you're not going to stay behind the curtain or in the limelight. I don't know what you did, but it looks really good on you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I have been working on standing up for myself more.
Oh, my gosh. But I mean, like 3 weeks ago, there has been a breakthrough in you. I mean, you know, when I touched your body and then I touched your soul, and it's like, oh, my goodness, look at how big she is.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's
very
good.
Very, very good. Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling me. Okay, what I'm going to do is take a quick commercial break. I'll be right back, take some more calls, and share this Lauren Bacall voice with you. Stay tuned.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, thank you again for joining me. If you are just joining me, I am having a Conversations with Carol. This is where we just get on the phone and we just chat, and I have my cup of hot water and hopefully you have your cup of coffee, and I can just share my medical intuitive skills and we can laugh and enjoy each other's company. Before I go in and start taking calls again, though, I'd like to remind you that this Thursday night, it's actually tomorrow, I have a teleclass on GERD, which is acid reflux, and I'm going to be talking about it from a clinical standpoint, a psychological standpoint, also how it appears in the energy field. The reason I share that is that it gives a visual portrayal for people who suffer from these different disorders or syndromes. It gives you a picture of what it would look like, so then you can go in and visualize and change the picture. I map it in the chakras, and then I go in and show what role your personality plays in the development or the predisposition of this particular disorder in the case of GERD. So if you have acid reflux or you suffer from heartburn or indigestion, or you know someone that does, I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on the little teleclass symbol that you'll see on the right-hand side. It'll take you in, and hopefully you'll be able to join me. If you do, you'll be sent an audio download for your iPod or your computer, and then also I think this one's going to end up about 22 pages of information on GERD and how we can really go in and look at the whole process. And the beautiful part of healing is that we don't really have to deal just with the physical. We could go in and deal with the emotional, or we could deal with the psychological part of it, or even go in and change your lifestyle or so forth. So again, that's tomorrow night. It's 5 o'clock Pacific time, and then it's 8 o'clock Eastern time. www.ritberger.com. I hope you can join me. If you can't, then a couple days later, you'll be able to purchase both the audio and the PDF download online. So please, if you've got GERD or anybody else does, give me a call and join me on the teleclass tomorrow night. All right, let's jump in. Hi, Jill from California. Hi, Jill. How can I help you, hon?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm so thrilled. I've been trying for weeks to get through.
I must have known that going on
with my legs. I have anemia, chronic anemia, undiagnosed. It's not nutritional.
No, it isn't.
I'm sorry, what?
It is not nutritional. You are absolutely right.
Right.
It is tied to your hormones, sweetie.
How
about that?
Well, I don't know. I'm beating my head against the wall trying to figure out these hormones. I don't know where to go with them.
Okay. Well, let's go in and let's see. Now you've got the edema in your leg. Is that correct also?
Yeah, but all my strength is completely gone. I can't hardly even do anything with them.
Yep. Yep. So let's go in. The anemia itself is around hormones, and it has to do with, I have to ask your age.
44 in a month.
Yeah.
Well, 44 in a couple of weeks.
Woo. Happy birthday.
What a great thing. It's like, actually, it's next Thursday.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Okay. So let's go in with the hormones. You're actually deeper into the cycle. You're beyond perimenopause. You're actually deeper into the cycle of being menopausal.
Yeah. I haven't had a period in like 5 years.
Yep. So what has occurred is that the anemia is tied also to trying to get your hormones balanced. They're really, you would have felt to me even 2 months ago, estrogen dominant. Now you don't. Now you feel like you're progesterone dominant. So all of those things, can cause the anemia. But what, more importantly, I go in and the anemia itself is tied to the immune system. The edema is tied to the, is tied to the immune system. So what are you doing for hormones? Let's go back there.
Bioidentical hormones, progesterone and estrogen only. And, and then I also rub some progesterone cream on my, abdomen 3 weeks out of four.
Okay, so that's why you're feeling so estrogen, so progesterone dominant to me. When are you due to go back and have your hormones checked on?
Well, I just went in July, so I'm really not due anytime soon.
You know what? I'm going to let you sit with it, but I would encourage you to go in and just talk to, make an appointment and just talk about the fact that you're so tired and talk about the fact that maybe you need to add some other things. Maybe you need a little bit of DHEA. Maybe you need a little bit of melatonin. Maybe you need a little testosterone. To be able to offset it, to see if there's some kind of balance. Bioidenticals is not just estrogen and progesterone. And the more that you come in and you have it tested, it may be, that may be part of it. That's what I'm picking up, is I'm just picking up that you're just so dominant in progesterone that it's just got the your hormones just all off balance, honey. So just think about it. See if that's something that you want to do. When are you due to go back, Jill?
Well, I just went, and actually I had my all my hormones tested, and they all kind of came back as normal.
Okay.
I had the DHEA, because I talked to you quite a while ago, about 6 months.
Right.
I had my DHEA and melatonin tested, and they were within, you know, the normal ranges.
Okay.
And she tested all my progesterone, and those were in the normal ranges, too, and that's why she just gave me estrogen and progesterone.
Right.
The testosterone tested fine. But she's just a doctor doing the test, and I know there's, like, specialty hormone doctors doing different kinds of more unique tests, and I'm wondering
right.
if I should have something more specialized or...
Well, you know,
or?
Yeah, the thing that I always say to people is that the normal range is a continuum. There can be quite a variation from it. And when the female gets deeper into the menopausal process, her hormones are constantly in a state of change. So when someone is showing mood swings, or they're having more hot flashes, or they're not themselves, or they're overly tired, or maybe they're overly weepy, you know, where they just are crying or anything, or they're overly aggressive. That's always the indicator that I say to someone, you know, just go back and have a dialogue. And even if it's just a dialogue and they don't want to go in and change, the hormones themselves. But what we're finding with the bioidenticals is that we have to start with the estrogen and progesterone, and they'll test the other things, but it's always a moving target, hun. And that's why I always say to someone, if you feel this way, go talk to them. Maybe you need to be checked every 6 months. Maybe you need to be checked once a year. But it is always that moving target part of it. So that's one aspect for you to ponder and to think about, Jill. The other part of it, hun, is I would like you to go in and find a naturopath or someone that can help you work on your immune system. Your liver itself, I would encourage you to go in and work with someone with maybe doing a very, very mild liver cleanse, nothing severe or long-term or anything. You feel like you need greens. You feel like your chlorophyll depleted. You also feel like your magnesium depleted. You feel like your potassium and sodium is off. So a naturopath would be able to run some tests, or to be able to talk to you and listen to what you have to say and work from there. If you worked on the liver and the immune system, meaning the liver, the spleen, I'm going to give you a triangle. If you looked at the thyroid, you looked at the liver, and you looked at the spleen, and whoever you work with them within that triangle, then if any of those get off, and the thyroid does get off when our hormones get off as females and as males, and then when the thyroid starts bouncing around, we get tired, we get fatigued, it gets low, the liver gets a little bit congested. The thing with the edema in the leg feels like it's tied to a lymph system that isn't moving the lymph the way it needs to, and I'm putting that back on the liver. The liver
is
detoxing.
Well, actually, I've had in one leg, I had the in my groin, the lymph nodes were completely removed due to a cancer about 15 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why one leg has an excuse, but the other one is just starting to have some edema in there, too, and it doesn't have a real good excuse.
It does not, other than the fact that the liver is really the detoxification and purification plant of the body. So you might want to go in and, look at that. And then greens,
higher. Yeah, eat all that. It's just not absorbed because of this.
It isn't. Yep. And again, I go back because the anemia is the liver isn't functioning the way that it needs to. That's why I suggested maybe a very mild short cycle liver cleanse or something. But the one thing I don't want to do, honey, because, you know, I've got, when I touch the spleen with the immune system and I touch the liver and I touch the thyroid and then I've got the hormones, I don't want to just go in and say to you, okay, well, this is all you need to do. I really would like you to work with someone that would look at that triangle, look at it from a holistic standpoint, and then go in and using their own skills, be able to say, this is where we need to stay. When the liver is low in red blood count and the liver has difficulty coagulating, then there is a predisposition. And then it has a difficult time absorbing iron, even in the foods that you're eating. Or if you were to take iron, it's not going to absorb it. It's going to weaken the immune system. When it weakens the immune system, then the thyroid, and then you add the change and stuff in it, then it's going to do it. So go in and do you have a naturopath that you're working with?
No, I don't. That was my next question, is how do you find somebody?
What you could do is you can go to a health food store, not a GNC or a store like that. I'm not anti-GNC at all, but someplace that is a natural food store. If you have a food co-op or you have a Whole Foods or something, you can go and see if they know of anyone. Sometimes there'll be a board that people will post their cards or anything. You might go in and Google naturopath and then put in where you live and your zip code. You might be able to find one there. And then basically call and interview them, honey, and just be sure that you feel really comfortable with them. The main thing I can say to you, Jill, is you must trust whoever you're working with. That's for everybody. But, honey, it's really for you because, again, this isn't a one-size-fits-all with you. And because of the lymph nodes being removed in the cancer, you want to work with someone that's knowledgeable enough, even maybe an integrative medicine doctor that's knowledgeable enough that will know that what you have isn't cancer. And that's where we need to go. That's exactly where we need to go. And that's why I suggested what you did, what I did.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. Thanks. Hi, let's go in and take Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm very good. How can I help you?
I had a question about brain fog. I am approaching a certain age, and I have had a lot of, events going on in my life, too. But I have so much brain fog at times that I feel like my short-term memory is completely gone, and just kind of feel quite a bit out of it, and don't feel quite like myself. And I just wondered what your opinion would be on that.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. First of all, honey, is that you're really experiencing a lot of what most of us experience as we age, from the standpoint that the brain cells themselves start to deteriorate. That short-term memory, if it isn't something that's called episodic memory, if it's not something that we repeat on a regular basis, then we do tend to lose that memory. And it gets stored way back in the kind of what I call the archival, the Smithsonian part of the brain, deep down within the brain. And so when you have to go back into that episodic memory and recall something, it takes time for the nerve synapses and the chemistry of the brain to be able to support it, to go way back in the archives. It's like something comes up and it goes, gosh, what was that? What was that? And when you say that, it's kind of like this little bean in the brain goes in and goes, well, hold on, I'm going to come back to you. I've just got to go look for it back in that, you know, way back in the archives. So there's that part of it. There's the other part of the hormone changes that you're going through around the change itself. It isn't uncommon for the brain fog to get there. Brain fog can also be caused by a thyroid that is on the low side, whether that's off the cycle or just in the low range. That can also create some mental confusion, meaning that it can create the brain fog. So I've got the hormones, I've got the aging part of it. And then the other part of it is, honey, is that you feel like there's patterns in your behavior that you've been working a long time to try to get out of. There feels like there's a lot of repetition in the cycles in your life and your lifestyle. And what I want to encourage you to do is to go in and let's do some aerobics and some calisthenics on the right side of the brain. And let's get that side of the brain back and being active. The left frontal lobe holds the short-term memory. The right frontal lobe holds all the symbology and all the pictures. So there's something you can do. In order, and it really is a calisthenics for the right brain. And what you can do is you can write your name with the hand that you write and then write your name with the opposite hand. Then you can write your name slanted backwards with the hand that you write with and then also slanted backwards with the hand that you don't write. Then what you can do is you can write your name as if it were to appear in a mirror. And then you can do it with one hand and then the other hand. And then what you can do is write your name upside down and then write your name with the other hand upside down. And I mean, it does take some time. It starts out frustrating. It becomes really comical and fun and funny. And you think, oh my gosh. But what it does is it's kind of like when I suggested each one of these things. The left brain frontal lobe holds words. And whenever we hear a word, it's that word that triggers that auditory part that triggers the memory to come back or that, you know, short term or even long term. When you go in and you do the handwriting that I suggested, what it does is it's like a metronome. If you were learning piano, click, 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 click. And it takes and it goes from right hemisphere to left hemisphere to right hemisphere to left hemisphere. And it creates kind of a calisthenics in the callosum, that gray matter in between. And it actually causes those nerve synapses to reactivate and it'll make it easier for you to recall things. For example, when the right brain works really well, you may not hear something, but you'll see something. You go, oh, I remember that. Well, that tells that little guy in the brain, okay, this is it. I'm looking over in this corner. It's got this name. It's got this picture. It's got this and that, and it'll make it easier for you. So I would do a little bit of right brain calisthenics there. I'm talking, as I'm talking, I'm going in and I'm saying, okay, do I have any kind of dementia? I don't. Do I have any kind of Alzheimer's? It really doesn't feel like that, sweetie. It just feels like that if you don't use it, you lose it. It's kind of that episodic memory pattern and process that's just part of the aging. One thing to remember, because I want to really give you something here, Elizabeth, on this thing, sweetie, is we have found in studying the brain and the neuroscience part of it is that, yes, the brains themselves decline in the reproduction of the brain cells itself, but it still does produce cells, and we can reverse that if we just use both right and left hemisphere. Another way with the right hemisphere is the creativity. But in your particular case, the writing process would be something that'll get those frontal lobes, you know, like, hello, we're talking again, and this is good, and it'll be easier for you to have that memory.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I can't pick up anything that's like, oh my gosh, it's just that we just need to do a little bit of brain work, brain calisthenics. And if it does get to the point, hon, where it becomes, where the brain fog becomes associated with the lack of sleep, or you're waking up, or you're feeling like you're getting some insomnia, or maybe you're having the shedding of the hair, or maybe you're gaining weight, or your skin texture change, then what I would do is encourage you to go and see someone and get that thyroid checked and see where it is. Brain fog, confusion, and stuff is part of the thyroid. It really doesn't feel like it's just that. It just feels like it's a combination of things, sweetie.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I wouldn't do anything. I'm going to hear you laughing in the field when you try to, you know, I've been doing this because I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to share this with people, I've got to do it. And the writing back and slanting back, everything was good. The mirror I could do. But when I started trying to write my name upside down, oh my gosh, my husband would come from anywhere in the house. He goes, are you okay? I am laughing hysterically. A good belly laugh is good for clearing the cobwebs out of the brain too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, very good. Well, thank you very much for calling me. It's been a pleasure to spend time with you. All right. Hi, let's take Sonali. Sonali, hi, honey. How are you? I only have a few minutes, but let's go for
Morning,
it.
Morning, Carol.
Hi, sweetie. How are you today?
Hey.
You have just been moving and grooving since you and I talked on that reading,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes, you're right. You know, getting 1 year ago, and I just wondered how I look.
Yes.
The teleclass on MS was so good, and the PDF file was incredibly enlightening.
Oh, thank you very, very much. So let's go. How can I help you, hon? Where do you want me to go and touch in your body? I hate to rush you off of this thing, how do you look overall?
Yeah.
Overall, you look very good. There's a couple of areas I'm just going to bring forward, but I'm going to start out by saying the electrical messages that I'm getting in the brain are moving through your body very, very smoothly and effortlessly versus where we had talked before. Where I go in, I want you to go in, and if you would touch, take a finger and just put it right between your breast area, right where we'd find that heart or that, you know, part of the breastbone. In that particular area, the old ancient metaphysicians called that the area of the abyss. And what that is that when we would make choices, the choices would kind of stay there and we would ponder them and see how they feel and so forth. In that, you've been making a lot of changes in your life, tremendous lifestyle changes that you've been making. And what I would like you to do is on a daily basis, I would like you to just kind of put your hand over that area. And I would just like to see it being really calm and being really connected, and that your spiritual self and your physical self are really connected, and that you can move forward, and that the choices you made are the right choices for you. What that'll do is as you touch that and kind of press in that area, it's going to take some of those choices that you've been making that you're still questioning or have made that you're questioning, and it's going to be kind of like the heart. It's going to kind of squeeze them up where they need to your brain, so you know that this is the right thing to do, and you kind of get caught, you get out of that doubt. That's the only thing I'm picking up. It's more of an energetic thing than it is anything else. When I go down into the actual pelvic area, but I'm going to go down into the femur, into the ball of the socket, when I actually go into the hips themselves, it feels tight there. Is that accurate, Sonali?
Yes.
Yeah, it feels tight there, sweetie. And so what you might want to do is if you have any kind of massage tools, any kind of wands or any of the kind that'll just kind of that you could put in that hip area and just let it kind of vibrate on the hip itself, what it's going to do, and it's specifically in the ball socket itself, the glute muscles that wrap around that ball socket, go down the back of the leg and around the front of the knees. It just feels like we just need to have something that just quivers against it, and that would cause that fascia, cause those muscles to not be as tight. That's going to give you a lot more movement, honey. And again, what that says metaphorically is that's why I started at the chest area. It's okay to step forward, honey. You've done a great job. Accept that you've done a great job. Enjoy it. And know, sweetie, you did it. Nobody else. I was a part of it, and what a great pleasure. But you know what? You took the steps that were necessary, and now you need to see yourself as standing tall, being courageous, and being able to go forward and really work with the energy and know that what you've made as a decision is good to go. I just keep wanting to say to you, okay, if you were an airplane and I was the control tower or jet, I'd say to you, okay, Sonali, I want you to taxi down runway such and such, and I want you to sit there for just a minute. I want you to, you know, put those jets up. I want to crank them on. And you know what, honey? You're good to go. Great job. Just a great job. There's your metaphor. So anytime you think about Carol, I'm the one in the control tower, but you know what? That's a fallacy. I'm really not. I just reflected your soul. You're in the control tower, honey, and you are good to go. Great, great, great job. Great job.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Well, I want to thank all of you. You know, I love sharing information about all the different topics and the illnesses and so forth. And, but I'll tell you, I really love the conversations with Carol. It allows both of us to just get to spend the time that we want to with each other. I am doing this on a monthly basis. It just seems to be such a great format for all of you. Thank you for all of your support. And I want to just kind of go back with where I started, the show this morning. Live every day as if it's the first day of your life. That way you won't live it like it's your last. We have tremendous energy shifts that are taking place, and there's a lot of attunement, and kind of what I was just saying to Sonali, be in your own control tower, be attuned with who you are, where you want to go, what you want to do, and live it with that excitement, that creativity, that part of you that just is inspired, that says, you know, today is the first day of my life, and everything that I learned today is going to help me with the rest of my life. It has been a wonderful time to share this time with you. I hope you will join me next Wednesday. I'll see you on the radio. Light and love. This is Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberg. It's been a pleasure. Have a great week.
You've been listening to the Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.